Jurassic Park 3, Spinosaurus Potter, by Gojira 126, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of Michael Crichton and J.K. Rowling. Chapter 12. Flying over the ocean toward Isla Sorna was a quiet affair. James rolled his eyes as Sirius grunted from glowering at him. James snorted at him as the soldiers hired by InGen and Biosyn grinned with mirth. As the father of Harry, James was finding it amusing, as flying was something normal for him. Sirius didn't know that, as he traveled on boats just fine, but any flying besides on a broom made him sick. As the chopper landed on the beach, James unbuckled himself from his seat before stepping off the chopper to get slammed into by his wife. His son wasn't far behind, but didn't slam into him like a freight train, thankfully. Sirius grinned before Lily and Harry joined them in the chopper. Harry was sitting next to Sirius as Lily sat with James. It would take a while to reach the ship, but James felt much better having his family with him again. The last week was a pain in the arse, as he had been tired from the Wizengamot being as slow as ever. Stepping out of the Wizengamot, James grunted as he rolled his shoulders. The session had gone on for 5 hours straight, though he was actually glad it was over. With some time spent talking to Albus, James was able to work with him on passing the bill that would protect the animals found upon the Muertes Archipelago. James was rather happy as he saw the old headmaster walking up towards him with a small smile. "James," Albus greeted, "where do you seem to be heading?" James turned as he nodded towards Albus.
"I'm going to see my wife and son. No, you may not join me."
Albus blinked in surprise before his shoulders sagged. "Surely you can tell me where you're going."
"I'd rather not. Nothing against you, Headmaster, but if anyone else knew, they'd try to follow. You know, like Rita Skeeter."
The old wizard grimaced. "Indeed. Well, may I wish you safe travels, James?" James smiled at that.
"Not all of us can use a phoenix to get around."
With that statement, James left Albus as he joined Sirius in the atrium. Sirius, having just bid farewell to Amelia with a kiss, turned to James with a smug smile. Together they flew to the Potter Manor, only to find a helicopter with the InGen logo waiting. A soldier motioned them inside and they quickly boarded, setting off towards a ship that would take them to Isla Sorna and the rest of the Five Deaths. After half an hour of silence in the chopper, Lily explained,
"We'll refuel before flying across the island to reach the base."
"Isn't that dangerous?" Sirius asked, frowning.
"Yes," Lily nodded. "But there's a storm building. It's safer to refuel now rather than risk the flat in these conditions."
James considered this.
"Sounds like nature's telling us to wait."
Lily shrugged.
"If Alice were here, she'd agree. But she's still in a coma."
The soldier reassured them.
"The military's upgraded the armor on these luxury choppers, so we'll be safe."
Sirius smirked.
"Better protection is always good."
With a quick refuel on the ship, the Potter took off to circle the rougher edge of Isla Cranio. The pilot fought against the fierce winds battering the dark side of the island. Harry could only recall flashes of what happened next. A brilliant bolt of lightning struck the helicopter as a storm erupted along the mountainous coast. The crash itself was a blur. He was thrown from his seat as the lightning struck. Pain pelted his face as he regained consciousness, groaning as he felt his mother's hands on his face. Opening his eyes, he managed a weak smile.
"Ow, that hurts," he muttered,
as Lily pulled him into a tight hug.
"Yes, I'm alive."
"I know," Lily whispered, helping him to his feet.
"Just lean on me, okay?"
Harry nodded, seeing a soldier speaking into a radio while both his father and godfather had their wands out. James was using spells to transfigure a cave into a more expansive shelter, while Sirius kept the rain off the soldier and the radio. Lily guided Harry into the cave, setting him against the wall. He ached all over, but he knew the pain would pass. The rain masked many scents he might have picked up otherwise, but that hardly mattered as the others came inside.
"I was able to radio the carrier," the soldier explained, grimacing. "It turns out they forgot to tell the pilot to wait out the storm. Either that or he didn't listen, but for now, we're on our own."
James nodded.
Nature's way of spanking us for not listening. Sirius snorted. Of course it had to use the lightning, didn't it? Why not? Sirius shrugged. Quite a shocking end, if you ask me.
Lily swatted Sirius's arm before Harry got to his feet, frowning as his senses flared in warning. He growled, spotting an animal resembling a flying rat. A spell struck it in the chest. Several large crabs quickly dragged the body into the darkness. Harry motioned for them to leave. It was time to find a safer location. The group moved through the coastal cliffs, observing many creatures thriving in the waterlogged environment. They encountered theropods named Acidactylus mandacaris, 15-foot-long predators scavenging for shellfish, mollusks, and crabs, retreating to safer ravine valleys. One had tried to do a threat display with its small arms and long claws, but it quickly left. Raptor-like Pericerodon exetialis hunted in the crashing waves, water rolling off the green scales as red spines flashed in the lightning strikes. As they watched, one of the Pericerodon jumped from rock to rock as its taloned feet gripped the water-smoothed stones of the shorelines. They were nearly ambushed by the carrion eater known as Tartarosaurus sivus, as it clearly was the largest predator on the coastline. Nearly 30 feet in length, the massive predator had taken the group by surprise. They only managed to avoid a confrontation when Harry transformed his arm into his Spinosaur one, delivering a powerful backhand to the predator. As they climbed higher, Lily pulled them into a cavern as something massive crawled up the cliff wall. Harry frowned, recognizing the shape and smell as it roared, shaking the stone around them.
"By Merlin's saggy balls," Sirius breathed. "That's a bloody dragon."
The creature, with a dragon-esque shape reminiscent of a Hungarian horntail, used its wings to scale the cliff with ease. Its aquatic skin tones suggested it thrived in ocean waters. The smoothed-out fish scales and hydrodynamic horns were obvious. It roared again before launching itself at the beach, crashing loudly as it shook one of the nearby 4-meter-long fur seals that were prominent on this island. Its prey cried out before going silent as death took it. Harry gritted his teeth.
"We can't stay out in the open," he growled, motioning to the cavern's mouth. "We'll be snatched up and eaten."
The soldier nodded. "He's right.
Besides, the cavern seems to lead further into the island. Maybe there's an exit to the surface?"
Lily led the way through the cavern, cutting down any giant centipede or bug with precision curses. Time passed slowly before the cave transformed into carved walls and collapsed stone buildings. Harry grew uneasy as they ventured deeper into what seemed like the remnants of a forgotten civilization. The air smelled of blood. Human bones littered the edges of the buildings.
"I think we entered the wrong neighborhood, James,"
Sirius muttered as the cave ceiling gave way to open sky and a more expansive area. Harry was about to comment when something shot out of the darkness, stabbing into his neck. He pulled out the dart, recognizing the dark feathers. He heard the sounds of his parents, Sirius, and the soldier gasping before he turned and collapsed. The poison from the dart darkened his vision, and the last thing he saw was figures emerging from the ground, walls and shadows, under the muggy light of the moon. Sirius Black slowly woke up and felt rather muggy in the head, like after one too many muggle alcohol drinks mixed with fire whiskey. He slowly felt rain pelting his skin before his body strained to pull his arms to his face to rub his eyes. Turning his head slowly, he saw that his arms were wrapped in something that looked like ropes. He highly doubted that it was, probably something like animal sinew. He turned his head the other way and saw James in the same position he was in.
"James, you're good,"
Sirius rasped, his voice drier than the stone that was around them. James nodded slowly before looking around, probably for Harry. Sirius also looked around and spotted his godson. Unlike them, he had a collar of bone around his throat. Sirius gritted his teeth, noticing how the collar worked. If his godson tried to pull on it, the sharpened bones would be pulled into his neck and stab him. James looked thunderous before looking around for Lily.
"Where's—" James said,
his voice barely above a whisper.
"Lily. The natives have her. K came the voice of the soldier, Garrett, his name on serious thought. For what, I have no idea.
So, Sirius grunted. You got lucky.
Garrett shook his head.
They didn't touch my stuff, but I got double roped. Can't even move my wrists.
Sirius nodded before frowning as his grim-like senses came to him. He smelled fire and water-worn wood. His eyesight cleared as he let his animagus's senses reach out, given that the magical animal was best in conditions like this. He smelled the air deeply, but the mental image he received made him wish he hadn't. They were in the center of what must have been a ritual site for these primitives, surrounded by other platforms that had bones built into them, and skulls, hundreds upon thousands of skulls of the human variety. He could also see the natives in the shadows, dark-skinned humans with crimson eyes, only in minimal clothing, loincloths mostly, it seemed. There were also humanoid creatures, too. He wasn't sure, as his nose could only get him so far. He also noticed that they were facing a massive wall of wood, stone, and bones. The wood seemed to be rotting in some places, but the rest had been replaced recently. His nose then alerted him to a new arrival, an entire group of them. He caught Lily's distinct scent, roses mixed with dough. Turning, he couldn't help but whistle. James looked up as well, and his jaw dropped, given what Lily was wearing. She was in a top that was clearly way too small on her, and a loincloth that looked way too shredded, both made up of some reptilian leather. Her hair was brushed straight and held with a feline-like skull. A crown of bones lay across her brow, and she looked like she was out of it. Her walking was sluggish and drunken, her eyes glazed over and dull. Then the drum started beating, thick and heavy. The rain pounded harder as the vibrations filled the air, adding to the percussion of the drums. Then the singing started, alien and visceral. As the population came out of the holes and places of rest, a chant was added to the music and singing.
Kong! 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 Kong!
The singing turned into more chanting as several men walked Lily to a strange device that was connected to the wall. They pushed Lily into position before tying her wrists to the two wooden prongs. Once tied up, they stepped away from her. Two groups then grabbed massive braided ropes as thick as Sirius's legs and pulled, the device slowly lifting Lily up and up. James and Sirius gasped in shocked horror as Lily woke up in midair and screamed in terror. She had a massive fear of being tied up and hung in the air, something that had happened with several Death Eaters during the war.
James!
She screamed, thrashing in her bonds as she was lifted over the wall.
Lily!
Mom!
Sirius turns to see his godson, eyes widening in panic. The device stopped as it landed on a platform, leaving Lily to stand on her toes as she tried to escape her bonds. The chanting got louder, as did the drums, almost hypnotic but also deadly terrifying.
Kong! 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 Kong!
The drums beat louder before stopping entirely as the final word was shouted, leaving all in silence. Then something answered. It started as a whistling in the trees before something started moving them aside. It got louder and louder before a massive shape loomed up over the treetops, taking Sirius's breath away. A massive ape-like creature stood up like a man, looking like it would easily take out the largest of the giants in a heartbeat. The beast beat its chest once, twice, then multiple times more before roaring. This caused the natives to cheer in sycophantic worship before the massive beast, Kong, Sirius guessed, looked at Lily with what appeared to be a frown. Lily was stock still as the simian giant looked at her before it grabbed her like one grabbed a porcelain doll, its other hand pulling the ropes off from the device that put Lily there. What happened next caused chaos within the natives as Sirius realized something that they didn't. His godson was extremely protective of his parents after finding them again. They had just let a massive ape take her from him, an apex predator that refused to allow anyone take what was his. If someone tried, death followed.
No! Mom!
The native stopped cheering, their jubilant fanatical worship shifting to shock and then to abject terror. Stones shook free from their places, wood snapped, cracks forming in the smooth stone beneath them as Harry's magic erupted like a nuclear strike. His binding strained to hold him, but snapped loudly as his body transformed from human into dinosaur, the collar of bones shattering in every direction. Sirius watched in shock as his godson's form changed, becoming something both familiar and startlingly different. Now standing nearly 30-plus feet, Harry's muscular hind limbs caved the platform beneath him as he roared. His larger head bore new additions, giving it a wider and heavier look. Inside his jaws were teeth akin to those of a Tyrannosaurus rex, made for crushing and piercing even the toughest bones. Those teeth then folded back into his jaws like a viper's fangs, while the interlocking teeth of a spinosaurid protruded, perfectly aligned for gripping prey. Harry's arms had lengthened and become more muscular, now featuring a thumb in addition to the three digits he had had before. Massive sickle-like claws adorned each finger, designed to carve and hold his catch. His neck had elongated a bit, more serpentine, rearing back as his godson snarled. Sirius also noticed that Harry's top half was armored with heavy plate-like scales, extending from the back of his head down to the end of his extra-long tail. This tail, similar to that of a sauropod, reduced a wooden structure to splinters with a mighty slash. The dorsal spine had also changed, its coloration a bright scarlet, with claw-like curls where the skin met the tips of the bone. The base of the dorsal spine was armored to prevent its connections from snapping. Sirius saw the dorsal spine twist along with Harry's actual spine as he turned his body, lashing out with his muscular arms. The massive talons cut through the closest natives like a cutting curse through flimsy material, sending blood and viscera into the crowd. Harry bellowed his war cry, charging after the massive ape that held his mother. Sirius wasn't sure how his bonds came off, but he suspected it was his godson's magic releasing them as his wand came to his hand from its holster. A black family curse came to his lips as he unleashed it on a large native, whose visage evaporated into black ash, leaving only a skull's face as he collapsed to the ground dead. He grunted before spotting Garrett pulling his pistol out, shooting at any natives that had a weapon in their hand. He turned, spotting his godson slashing at the door with his arms, then something leapt at him. It was feminine in shape, but also had a serpent-like tail, with arms reaching out to slash at Harry's face. Harry was faster, jaws snapping out to bite into its waist. The screech it unleashed was ear-splitting until it was bitten in half before Harry slammed into the massive doors, shattering them with his brute strength. Sirius silently wished his godson luck before having to focus on himself, as something that looked like a hybrid between man and bull charged at him. Harry leapt over the ravine that separated the primitive natives from the rest of the island, landing on his feet before sprinting after the scent of the massive simian beast that held his mother. It wasn't that hard to follow, as the huge ape left a pretty open trail behind him. The trees were crushed or pulled out of the way of the massive animal. He soon smelled his mother, as he growled loudly. He broke through the brush. He saw the massive simian leisurely walking away. Harry's blood boiled as he charged forward, claws raised before he struck his target. Massive talons dug into the thigh flesh of the massive ape, who roared in pain before looking down at Harry. Harry hissed, tearing his claws out of the leg in defiance. The simian brute bellowed before turning with surprising speed, its free hand coming around before the back of it slammed into his side. Being sent airborne was something of a new sensation as Harry was sent hurtling away before crashing into the ground. Thankfully, his dorsal spine could flex and wouldn't snap his spine entirely. But that wasn't the problem now. It was that the ground was too slick to fully stop himself from sliding.
"Harry!"
he heard his mother scream as he looked up. He saw his beautiful mother reaching out a hand, horror stricken across her features as he fruitlessly tried to slam his talons into the soggy and slick ground. His back half went over the edge of a massive crack in the island, as he roared towards his mother. His front half followed. End over end, he plummeted with an echoing scream of utter anguish and rage, body slamming into the sides of the ravine as he plummeted to his death. The darkness consumed him as he slammed against a ledge of rock, breaking it as consciousness fled to parts unknown. For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Gojira 126. Music from Jurassic Park for the Nintendo Game Boy, gratefully used by permission of composer John Dunn. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact info on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server where you can attend live recordings of all of my ongoing projects, and various ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.